hope you all have good. You all have not gone for vacations, jokingly. But you know, it's good to have vacations, and it's good to just take a break. And it's a nice way spending time with our family and friends. So we'll just pray and ask God that you know God will speak to us this morning, and we'll be able to hear God and you know hear what is there in His heart for us. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to just say, Lord Father, you have been a good God. And thank you for all of the things, Lord Father, which we were able to do throughout this year. And Lord, we want to thank you for the Lord, our children's Lord academic year, the colleges, our youth's academic year, and Lord, all of those. And Lord, Lord, it's winding up. We want to thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. We just want to thank you. And Lord, we just look forward for this new academic year for our children, for our youngsters, and Lord, those who are pursuing in their career, everything, Lord. We just want to say, Father, your presence will be there, your hand will be there. And Lord, we pray and we want to thank you for this morning as well, the wonderful opportunity which you had given us, Lord, to hear from you. And Lord, to know you, know your heart behind, Lord, for this church and for our family and for an individual, Lord. We bless you, we thank you. We pray that you take over, let your presence take over, and Lord, so that there is clarity and, Lord, assurance through your word which you will give us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so, you know, we are doing a topic on or the theme called as fear of God, okay? So, anyone wants to say what we did a week after or week before? Anything? That means, sorry, yeah, some were not available, they were saying, yes. What did we, last week or last week? Unhealthy, healthy fear, okay. What about last week? The mountain of fear and mountain of joy, okay. So, yes, okay. So, we are very close to what we have heard. So, the first week we did on the fear of God. We are looking at the fear of God, what actually the fear of God is, and how should we rever, basically. It is not fear, but it's the reverence. And we looked at the fear of God for individual. Last week, we looked at how, as an individual, we should apply the fear of God. That is reverence of God in our lives. And before that, we saw about what is fear of God. What is unhealthy fear? What is healthy fear? You know, we saw that. And this morning, we are going to look at something on the fear of God, how that applies to a church. Okay, that is all of us. Do you think the fear of God applies to the church? Yes. Yes, okay. When I say fear of God, that is basically the reverence and the awe, okay, for God. So, for those who know God, or those who have experienced God, or those who know the word of God, reverence is something which, when they read and they understand the word of God, they are in awe of God, okay. When you know the scriptures and when you know the heart of God, when you know God personally, we have a reverence for God and we are in awe of God. But for those who don't know anything, that is, you know, we are just learning or doesn't know much about, for them, when we say fear, it becomes a judgment, you know. It becomes a judgment that when we talk about fear of God, it becomes, oh, what if I don't do this? You know, there is a judgment which is going to happen on me, or something bad will happen to me. Okay, so there are two ways when we look forward. If you want to understand the fear of God, we need to know more the scripture, know more about the heart of God. And if kind of like we know very little or less, then fear of God becomes something else for us. You know, we are kind of like fearing God for, you know, not falling into his hands for judgment, or he will punish me, but that is not the case. So I would encourage all of us to know the scriptures, to know the heart of what God is asking us to do. In Hebrews, you know, which kind of we saw last week. Sorry, yes? Okay. In Hebrews, which we saw last week, was chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, verse 28, 29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Okay, so it has two parts. If you look at it, it says that we need to worship God. We need to be thankful of God with reverence and awe. Awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Okay, so it talks about that, you know, we need to rever because of who he is. Okay, who he is. So the reverence and awe are exactly what the fear of God means, you know, for us. So whenever we are talking to people about the fear of God, or when we are reading the scriptures about the fear of God, we should know that we are talking about the awe or the reverence which we need to give to God. Okay, so that should be the motivating factor for us when we read it, not judgmental, not punishment, but that should be the motivational factor for us. We should not be scared of God. Tell your neighbor, we should not be scared of God. Okay? Because there is no reason to be scared of him. We have so many promises that it says that there is nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes? We have his promise that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what does all this mean is that there is nothing we should be fearful of, but we should in awe and reverence to him, what he is saying to us, what is asking us to do. Okay, the fear of God is respecting him, obeying him, submitting to him, the discipline and worshiping him in awe. Okay, so it is, when we talk about reverence, it's about respecting him, who he is, obeying him, what he says, submitting him when he disciplines, obeying him and worshiping him in awe. Today we are going to look at very different aspect of our church. You know, we are going to look at the fear of God, how that applies to churches or to our church as well. Okay, so let's read from the scriptures. And I will talk about few things when we talk about church and, you know, revering God in church. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 15 and 16. It says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Okay? So the context of this verse is, David's son Solomon, okay, where he is building a temple for God, okay, a place, a temple for God. And he's saying, God, this temple is useless if you don't come and your presence don't come in this place. So then God replies to him saying this verse, that going forth, my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes, my heart will always be there. Okay. So God declared that he would be attentive to a specific place. Okay. And he says that I will hear the prayers offered in this place. Okay. And if you read the later verses, it also says, but if you do something else, which I don't want, you know, or against my command, then my presence will go after this place and this temple will become just a monument. Okay? The temple will become just a temple. It will not have any power, anything to change us or to change anyone. So he was, when we look at this scripture portion, we can take it in this way, that God was not referring to a specific location. The promise applies to us even now. Wherever people of God gather to worship him, you know, it may be a building, it may be a hotel like this, you know, his presence, his eyes are there in that specific place where we all worship. And that's the reason, you know, even though we worship God personally in our home, worship God, you know, during cell group or during midweek group or a service, we all come here together. Because the scripture says there is a specific anointing in a place where God says, when my people gather and all come together and worship, there we can see his presence, you know, manifested powerfully. In dictionary, it talks about, when we talk about church, it says, a house consecrated to the worship of God. A place where divine service is performed. Basically, this refers to the Old Testament, where we can see the temple was referred as a sanctuary. And we know there was a tabernacle which was placed in the temple, and there were Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Lord, and the covenant was kept. And there was no one who was allowed to enter the place except the high priest. So something which is holy, something which was consecrated, something which did not have access to anyone, that is what the church it talks about. But when Jesus came and he offered his life on the cross, he broke that barrier, and he said that, you know, there won't be any barrier, that we don't have to go to any priest or we don't have to bring any offering, but we need to bring ourselves as an offering and a sacrifice and worship God. So he broke that traditional method of going to a church, but he brought a new definition of church, that is we. And he says, when a two or three of them gather, my name will be there. My presence will be there, and I will see him and I will hear him. Now, having been granted that access to us, where God said that, you know, I will dwell among you, or dwell wherever you are gathering, don't you think that we should revere him? Because he says that I will going to dwell in the place where you gather, and I would be there in midst of these people who all are meeting. Maybe today we all are here, you know, and God says, I would be there, my presence will be there, and we should revere him. Okay? So what I'm trying to bring this is, when Jesus said, you know, your body is a temple, you need to worship our God in truth and spirit. But also we see that, you know, we read it in John chapter 2 last time, where Jesus went to the temple and he drove all of them. And what did he say? What did he refer the temple as? Anyone? House of God. House of my Father. That's what he says. You have made this place as a marketplace where this is the house of God, or this is a place where God dwells, or the presence of God, or this is the house of my Father. So that is the importance of that place. It manifests. And when we gather here, maybe this is a temple, or this is kind of a place, it's a hotel. But when we gather here, God manifests in a specific place. Even though we can do our worship alone at our home, but there is a specific place where God's anointing we will see whenever his people gather. And we see that when Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 and 2, when Solomon finished praying, you know, let me see if I have this verse. Yes. When Solomon finished praying, it says, the fire came down from the heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt in payment with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good. His love endures forever. So when we gather here, for us, this is a church, a place and hotel Peace Park where God has given us. So when we ask for his presence, and when we say, God, you come in midst of us, God's presence manifests and his glory fills this place. And this place doesn't remain a hotel. It remains as the house of the Father, house of our God. That's the importance. So when we enter Hotel Peace Park, or we enter this place, we are not entering a hall. We are entering the house of the Father. House of where God going to manifest. His presence is going to manifest when we all will gather. So when Solomon prayed, it manifest, and it was filled with glory. It was filled with glory. Whenever God's presence manifests, it fills with glory. So when we come to the house of God, where Jesus referred the temple as house of my Father, for us, God is our Father. So when we come to this place, we need to revere Because we are coming to the house of God. We are not coming to a hall. We are not coming to Hotel Peace Park. We are not coming for anything else, but we are coming because the house of God, this is the house of my Father. And you know, there may be many other places, kind of when we worship, you know, in the churches, if you look at it, right? Our church in Colaba, you have a prayer room, you have a main hall, you have some other rooms. But the presence of God manifests in a place where all his people gather. And it comes more powerfully. Okay? It's not that the presence of God is not there anywhere else. But when we ask, it manifests in that place. So when we come to Hotel Peace Park, when we come here, we need to know we are going where? To the house of my Father. Tell your neighbor that I am sitting in the house of my Father. Yes. It's a wonderful revelation or something which we need to take in. Solomon said, come, let your presence dwell here. God said, yes, it will come. And when it comes, the glory fills. No one was able to enter. The high priest who have been called to enter, they were not able to enter. So just think about when we call God, when we enter to the house of the Father, it's his glory manifesting in this place, even at this time. You can sense the power of God. You can sense when we are fellowshipping. You can sense when we are worshiping. You can sense when we are reading the scriptures. You can sense when we are hearing the scriptures. So when we come to the house of God, today it is Hotel Peace Park, tomorrow we will have another place, but it is the house of the Father. It is not a rented hall. It is not a place where we have just come, it's a hotel. But we should come as reverence that it is the house of my Father. Even Jesus, when he spoke about a lot of parables that your body is a temple of God, true worshippers should worship in truth and spirit. But when he goes to the temple, he says, this is the house of my Father. He himself refers to a specific location, specific place, a specific temple as this is the house of my Father. So when we are here as the community of God, RHC, we are in the presence of God. We are not sitting in the hotel. We are sitting in the place where his glory is filled. And if we want to experience it, that attitude needs to change. That we are sitting here in the house of my Father, where his presence is manifesting, or it's going to manifest over this place. And that is the expectation, what should drive us to come to what we say, church. So if you look at it, we refer this place as church. When we go out or we are crossing, we tell our children, church. We don't say Hotel Peace Park. We say church. People ask us, where are you going? We don't say Hotel Peace Park. We say church. Because his glory manifests in this place. But when I know that his glory is manifesting in this place, this is the house of the Father which God has given to RHC. So I come in this place in reverence, in awe, and with the fear or, you know, for my God. Okay? So what does this reverence means? Something which I have been asking God. God's been, you know, putting this, the whole new idea or a concept of what church is. And I'm so grateful and thankful for what God has revealed. The importance of the meeting place or church where God to be revered. Okay? What should be there? The reverence of the place. So we need to rever that we are entering in this place. We need to prepare ourselves that we are going to enter to the house of the Father. And that is something which God expects us when we are talking about fear of God in the church. So we should rever this place that whatever we talk here, whatever actions, whatever things which have been said, we are in this place where his glory has manifested. His presence is here. You know, which I talked about, Jesus clears the temple and he says that you have made this temple as a place of market. And you know, he says, get out of this house,
stop turning my father's house. You know, Jesus said many parables, many things. Jesus also points out to a specific gathering where the presence of God manifests, and he says it is the house of my father. So we need to rever this place that I am going to go to the house of my father. Here we are meeting on Sundays. They used to meet once in a week, where they all used to come and celebrate, the Israelites. And we need to prepare ourselves. If that preparation is not there, it will movie, then it will be a kind of a show or a talk or a motivational kind of, you know, people will talk to you, motivate you, and you go out and with that motivation. But when we have reverence for this place, I would know, you know, what should be my action, what is my expectation when coming to this place. And Jesus gave importance to that place. That's what I wanted to bring this. When we talk about reverence, fear of God, Jesus gave importance to a place where his people gathered. He said, this is the house of my father. And it says, he had so much of zeal for that place. So much of zeal for that place. And when we wake up, do we have that zeal that we are going to go to my father's house? Yes, the presence of God as it's there at my house where we are praying and gathering. But to a specific place where Jesus says that house of my father. Can we have that zeal? Or can we rever that place? So when we are coming this year specifically, or any year going forward, we need to rever ourselves, saying that we are coming to the presence of God, where his glory will manifest. So the fear of God in the church is revering that this place is filled with God's glory. Otherwise, it will just become a theater, or it will just become a place where we have just come and met each other and we left. So the reverence of this place we should always have. Today's Peace Park, but tomorrow will be there somewhere else. But we should have the reverence that in awe and in gratitude and in fear of God, that we are coming to the place where his glory is filled. The second thing is, we need to rever his presence. You know, when we are coming to church or a place which is called the house of our father, that is ours, we should rever for his presence. We should fear for his presence, or we should be awe for his presence. You know, we know the story. Moses, God said, take your sandals, for the place where you are standing is a holy ground. Tell me, do you think where Moses was standing was holy? The ground was not holy because of the location, or because of the burning bush, which was burnt and it was consumed. It was holy because God was there in that place. So when we come to this place, we rever for his presence. The holiness came not because of that place or for that, you know, reverence where the burning and all that. That the reverence came because God's presence was there in that place. God was there. So when we come to church, or we should rever, or we should be fearful of, and we'll be of that, I'm going to a place which is holy. Why? Not because of the balloons and people, but because of God's presence. Same thing for Solomon. When he called the temple, we built the temple. The temple was already erected. What made the temple holy? God's presence made the temple holy. It was God's presence who came and it became holy. And I would say and challenge, whenever we come here and meet as a church, rever that God is here. I'm going to meet God. And that reverence should come from inside, that wow, And that should drive us to Sunday church. Not for my needs, not what I'm going to give back or take it, but the reverence that God is there in that church. God is there in that place. Otherwise, Solomon's temple may have become a monument. Everything, you know, which looks like a church. When people say, where is your church? We say, Peace Park. Does not look like a church. But the church exists where God's people come and Jesus says, this is my house of my Father, where his presence dwells in that place. So when we come to the presence of God, we should know what are we wearing. What is my dressing sense this morning? Suppose you are going for a wedding, or we are going for a wedding. Suppose a church wedding, someone is getting married from our church. What kind of attire we would have? We would take the best out of it. But we have seen most of the times, you know, I was in a place where you keep Monday to Friday clothes aside for office and you take the least minimum, which we don't use it for church. Reverence of the presence, you know, our attitude. So the fear of God, which we talked about, that presence need to, you know, we should experience his presence. Otherwise, it will just be there. We will just go and come. Everything should show up that we are coming to the house of a Father where his presence dwells and he is there strongly in midst of us. And then the reverence of our actions, okay, that also is kind of when, you know, the fear of God when we come to church. Yeah, and we read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 2-3. King David rose to his feet, said, listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build. But God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and you have shed blood. Where God says that this person is God's main man or close to God or is the heart of God or a man after his own heart. But God says, you are not going to build my temple. So the importance of this holy gathering or the temple which we are talking about, we should know whether my actions when I come here, how is it? You know, I would come here, I would know that, yes, God did not like, he was warrior, he was brought, but God said, you are not going to build my temple. You be aside because you have shed too much of blood. And that was given to Solomon. Even though David made everything provision, if you look at it, he made all the provisions for building the temple. So when we come here, we revel God with our actions. Because his presence is there. The place has become holy. And this is the house of our Father. So our actions, we need to know what kind of actions, what kind of attitude, what kind of posture I have when I come to RC, Hotel Peace Park. The reverence of holiness. You know, there's a story we know when David was bringing the ark. And we have Uzzah who reached out. You know, it was they were bringing it and it was just falling. And he just went to help. But he died. God did not like. We are all aware of this story? Yes. What happened? We should revel God for his holiness when we come here. The ark was touched. When we come to church or gathering, we must revel God's holiness. We have come here to worship this holy God. God is holy who makes us holy. We should know that in our heart. So the fear of God, or the reverence we should give to God when we come to the church, is, you know, we should know that He's a holy God. We have come here to worship His holiness. And that will be, you know, filled with awe. And that can be seen in our church when we worship God. When we say worship, it is not only singing. Worship is everything what we do. From morning till night. When everything ends. So holiness. When we come here to in this place, Hotel Peace Park, we should know that there is a holy God exists here. His presence is holy. And He's there. So we should know what need to do, what need not to do. The reverence of God should also showcase my offerings. You know, Jesus sat down one day. Where did He sit? He sat near a temple, a house of His Father. He did not sit anywhere where fishing and all that they were doing. He did not say, blessed is the one. He came to the temple and He saw this. We all know all this. We know this story. Many rich people threw a large amounts, but a poor widow came and put it in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Verse 43, calling His disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, but in everything she had to live. So when we come to church, we should be in awe of our offerings. We should be in awe of what are we going to give God today. It is not only finances. Sometimes God may say, give me your life. So I should be ready for that offering. And Jesus looked at specifically near the temple. Who is giving for the church? And how much importance it plays for Jesus. Not about the money and amount, but Jesus touched the heart of the offering. So when we come to church, we need to rever our offerings. What I am planning to give when I'm coming here. So I should rever and be in awe. The presence is here. The holiness is here. The awe-ness is here. Just think that Jesus is sitting next to the temple. The way He is sitting. And He's there. The presence of God is there. And He knows what we're going to offer. The presence of, you know, the reverence of God is also to worship. The one way we can fear God or rever God is when we come here to worship. It says God is spirit and His worshipers must worship and in truth and spirit. So we should come here to worship God. And Jesus, our God, is seeking true worshipers. Tell me how many of us here, where if Jesus is here this morning and say that, tell us that you were a true worshiper this morning. Irrespective of music, irrespective of the slides, irrespective of the songs. Can He tell us that you are a true worshiper this morning? True worship is not about favorite song. It is not about emotional experience. True worship is a lifestyle which we bring to church. And that's the lifestyle which Jesus expects us, where He says, His worshipers should worship in spirit and truth. So this morning, if we have, you know, God's presence, as I said, you know, I come with an excitement every week to this place because I'm going to the house of my Father. I'm going to worship. I'm going to offer my best. I'm going to rever for His holiness. I know His presence. I would know what should be my actions. And that is what God is expecting Renewed Hope Community this year. As I said, while I was preparing it, all just came up. And it's the heart of God for us that we revel Him and in awe whenever we meet and come here. The reverence, you know, we can revel God or fear God in our gathering. You know, the psalmist says, "One thing I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." So we come here, why? To behold the beauty of God. If you look at our themes for worship, it's all about the beauty of God. It is not about our emotions. It is not about what we are going to offer, what God spoke to me throughout the week. It's about the beauty of God we bring. And we rever and we worship Him. And we rever Him. David says, "I will be there in the temple of God." So I rever Renewed Hope Community or the gathering, the church, by coming on time. I would see to it, I going to my house, the house of my Father, I will not be late. I'll try my best and I will rever it that, you know, I'll reach on time to, you know, behold the beauty of the Lord. And to be there in His presence, David says, all of the days of my life, not only on Sunday, Friday, all of the days of my life. So we not only come on time, but we also come regularly. And this is the heart of God. Okay, not my message. But this is the heart of God, that we come regularly, we come on time, all the days of my life. The house of the Father consumed Jesus. The zeal of the house consumed Jesus. What does that say? What does that mean? He was so passionate for the house of the Father. And He can't take it anything less. And He can't give anything else. He can't see someone giving anything else. So, don't miss this gathering. People can pray at home, in woods, in river, or anywhere like you pray. But this place is dedicated specifically for this purpose. The house of the Father. The tag where we all come and worship. You know, the reverence of, you know, we rever Renewed Hope Community or the church is also that we rever the leadership. Whoever God has placed today, I am there, tomorrow someone else will be there, or you are going somewhere else. You know, you rever whoever God has placed in that place. And, you know, there is a nice story about Saul. Samuel, you know, they were going for war. Samuel said to Saul that, you know, you go there, within 7 days, I will come. And we will offer sacrifice. Saul was waiting with all his people. They saw few of them are fearful. They were running from his, you know, camp. Saul became so anxious. He went and he sacrificed by himself. And the Bible says when he sacrificed, Samuel arrived. Can you just see this? And Samuel said, "Why did you do it?" And God did not like it. You know, we rever the leadership which God has placed in our life. Wherever we are, today we are in Renewed Hope Community, tomorrow we'll be there somewhere else, and we rever. We give topmost priority to see that, you know, we rever them. And they disobeyed. And then we have this another story of Miriam, and she spoke against Aaron, and Miriam spoke against Moses, who was leading his people. God was very upset. You know, I'll just read it for us. Chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Okay? So there is some background. Moses has married something and they did not like. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? And that attitude can come in our church or wherever we go. Is God only speaking to him, through him or from him? Why can't we hear God? Yes, that's fine. God can hear, but God was not interested in that. They asked, Lord only spoken through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the next verse, it says, the Lord came down in pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and he called them both. Aaron and Miriam, they said, come forward. They came forward. And it said, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord when they were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. So God was not happy at all when, you know, he spoke against the leadership which God has placed us. You know, at certain times in our life, we may know full ratta of Bible. We may have better skill set. Or we may think that we are the best person or we are the best people. But remember this, that God is listening. God is not interested in our skill set. God is interested in the authority which God has placed under us. And we need to rever them. So when we come to Renewed Hope Community, how well graduated we are in, you know, BTH theology or whatever it is, or any other church where we go, you know, we need to rever the leadership and see to it that our topmost, you know, whatever we can help them and support them if we feel that is where God has called us for. Now, we saw a lot of reverence which will bring in awe. But that reverence can also be misused and at the meeting place. Our meeting place can become a business center. You know, it can become a club where we come to meet friends, not God. Jesus drew them away. He said, go. Definitely, when we meet together, there is some communication do happen among us, family. But for I don't come for that. I come to meet God. We come to this place to seek God. Samuel, you know, his sons used that. Samuel's sons basically used the temple for their benefit. People brought their offering. What did they do? They took the best part for them and gave the rest to others. So we can misuse the meeting place. We can misuse the meeting place. These are something which we need to have a checklist for us when we are coming to this place. We can misuse the temple. We can make this temple as a business center or a center of friendship or a family and friends, not that we are coming to seek God. We can come here, if we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We can come here to cheat God and to cheat others. You know, they had a property. They sold everything. No one told them to sell it. They only went and they sold it. When they sold it, out of that, 90% or 99% they gave it to Peter. 1% ghar ke kharche ke liye rakha wo log ne. When they brought it to Peter, Peter said, you are not brought everything. And they said, and Peter said, you are not deceiving man, but you are deceiving God. You know, it says like this, you have not lied just to human beings, but to God. So we can misuse, you know, we can cheat when we come to the temple of God. This all, as a Renewed Hope Community Church, as we grow, you know, these are the values, these are the things, these are the, you know, these are the things which we need to have in our back of our mind, you know, wherever we are doing and whatever we are doing. And we see that the leadership being abused. I think that point. Another thing is we can misuse the temple where the leadership is abusing his authority. We can also have places like that where, we are misusing what God has given us, where we were supposed to serve, but we are misusing it. We know the story of Saul. It was been given to him to serve, but we see what he did. He started misusing it. So the leaders can misuse. So we need to see when we come here, we don't fall in any of these categories. We can misuse the church when the word of God is not preached. Fear of God. No one wants to hear. Even I don't want to hear, to be very open and frank. That's the reason I said, please preach on the reverence of God, not the fear of God. If the word of God is not preached, we not brought forward what it is, then we can misuse this temple for our benefit, our sake, what we want to hear. And we can also misuse being part of many churches. We make people clear, go to one church, serve one church, being part of there. If you like something from another church, bring it there. And serve there till the time God has placed us. So, there are many people who go to many churches, morning church service in RHC. I'm just giving an example. Evening church in some AG. Third service is online. And they hear variety of preachings. Everything contradicting to each other. And the life is still stagnant. Instead of our perspective of being built, we don't know what needs to be done. So, we can misuse. Why I'm saying, I had this kind of a humor. Jesus said, my second coming, I'm going to take my bride. Okay, when Jesus will come, he says, I'm going to take my bride. Now, if I am part of two church, I don't know which bride he will come and take first. I need to be part of that one bride where God has placed me, and being there, being faithful to their leadership, being faithful in their teachings, and then allow God to work through yourself in the lives of many. So, misuse. Hope that as we grow, last week when we were having a prayer walk, Stephen uncle and our team, we felt this word for us that Panvel Church, that is Renewed Hope Community, this year is going to move around campuses around across. I told someone, we have more people to do less job now. That is the danger which we see. So what is the solution for that? The solution is God has placed us in midst of institutes where the gospel need to be preached, in midst of township which is unique, which we don't have any other places, to reach out, to that place. So we can either misuse or we come in this place in reverence. Anything against the church. And I'm just saying it is all the Holy Spirit bringing to write down, note down, what is for Renewed Hope Community Church and for me and for you. Okay? Anything against the church and its people is like against God. I may have something bad for Rekha and I may want him not to prosper. Anything wrong about anyone, there is something which is going to come out for us. And anything wrong for the church, where we want this church to just anywhere, okay? You may see a leadership is not right or whatever it is, but any desire which comes, this church, no. This is the bride of God. It is not the people there. It is the presence of God there. We are talking about the presence of God manifesting in different churches across, different languages across, different theological background across, with their limited understanding across. What is common is the presence of God all over this universal churches. That's the variety of We enjoy this, that uniqueness from a church from Marathi, from a church from Hindi, from a Pentecostal background, from a charismatic background. Never again speak anything against them. We are not talking about them. We're talking about the presence of God which made this church as a bride. You know, scripture references, you may ask me, where is the scripture references? Okay. The church persecuted by a famous personality, Saul, who became Paul. Okay? Chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it talks about this. On a great day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. What he was doing? He was destroying the church. You know, destruction? Destroying means he was dragging people. Just think about it. The Bible says he did not throw out people. Drag them out from church where his holiness, his presence exists. And if you look at Jesus met Saul and he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Tell me, did Paul persecute the church or Paul persecute Jesus Christ? In verse 1 to 3, see, it says, Paul began to destroy church. He was persecuting the church. But when Jesus met him, he says, you are persecuting whom? Me. Jesus is referring himself as the body of Christ church where we all are here. It is unique. You know, I can't express. It is amazing when we come in this place. We should be in awe and reverence. Jesus bringing himself and saying, you are persecuting me. He's referring him as church. So anything against the church and the people, it's like against God. How much we know, how much we can do, it's against. If we do something which is not pleasing to God, it is against God. You know, my personal experience of church, I know you all may have your experience of church. Church changed me. Church became my family. Church gave me a vision. Church taught me reverence to my God and my leader. Church corrected me. Church allowed me to explore God. Church sharpened my skill set, equipped me with my skills. Church helped me to love my marriage, my family, and community. Why church? The presence of God manifests in this place. And it only brings life. Nowadays, the reverence of God, or when we come to a place or something called as church, either we are coming to a hotel, either we are coming to a monument or a place which has a cross, but we are not coming to meet God. That is the saddest thing which we can have over the period of time. Instead of reverence, we have demonstrated through our Bible, modern Christianity, which has adopted as Jesus as my buddy attitude. That itself downplays the reverence of God, the holiness of God, the power of God, the righteous wrath of God, the sovereign of God. You know, reverence also does not refer as a God as a big guy or a big person or someone who is in authority. Reverence comes from heart and it comes through love. And God has placed us in a wonderful church and a community. And we come here, you know, we rever God so that His presence can manifest in this place. We saw the temple in the temple of Solomon. The temple was destroyed. And it says the presence of God came out from the temple. We can become like that. We can become as a business center. We can become a family group, WhatsApp group, friendship community, Facebook friends, like, you know, RHC friends. Yes, all those are needed. But that is not the priority. And this is coming to us at this point for us as a church that, you know, we move ahead in that reverence. Jesus gave Himself. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have eternal hope. We have a church which is vibrant across the globe. A church which transforms places, which transforms politics, which transforms the entire creation. It is a church has always stood and is always going to stand. And it is our responsibility that we rever this God who is in place of our church. So with that note, I would say that we begin this new day. That when we go out, we rever what we heard. That it is the presence of God that we are here. Okay, so we'll just pray and ask God. Definitely God may have